B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, April 15th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily with Joe and Norris finally back in Detroit, we'll get caught up on what everyone did over the weekend. Plus, in honor of Game of Thrones being back, we're going to create a list of the top 15 characters guaranteed to not survive the season.
Yes.
Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start talking a little bit of Star Wars. Last week played host to the Star Wars Celebration out in Chicago. Not only did we get the long-awaited trailer for the ninth movie, we also got our first look at the new game from Respawn Entertainment, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
What up, though?
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look. Yeah, I think, guys, we got to start with the movie trailer. The Rise of Skywalker, Episode 9, The End of the Skywalker Saga.
Okay. I have so many questions.
Yes.
So many questions.
Okay, Nate, you start because I feel where you will go will take us to a place that is much more positive than where I'm going.
Rise of Skywalker? Hasn't that what the 8 previous movies have been about? They've all been about Skywalkers.
And they're all dead now.
Most of them are dead now. And here's the thing, is that I think that this...
We don't know that.
No, we don't. And we don't really know for sure what the title alludes to. But I think the biggest clue here is that Rey may end up being a Skywalker. I don't understand how...
I hope that's not it.
Because I hope
that it becomes like a title. Like she's the Skywalker.
Maybe.
That's even worse.
I mean...
Then her being a Skywalker after all this time? No, it's not.
I don't understand what the title is supposed to be referencing specifically. Like all of the other titles in all of the other Star Wars movies have been cliched, but not confusing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, JJ said that he knew that this title would spark a lot of conversation, but he also said that when we see the movie, we'll come to understand what the title actually means, which says to me it's not something super basic like, Rey actually was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it is going to be. Here's my theory on it, and it comes back to what we saw happen at the end of the trailer.
Yep.
We get the Emperor Palpatine laugh, and everyone's like, wow, it's good to hear that voice, but that's a weird choice.
Which, by the way, at the Star Wars Celebration, they brought out the actor who plays
Palpatine. Yeah, they did.
Ian McDermott, and he said, play it again. You know, and they played the trailer again for some reason. They just had the camera inside the room when it was playing. I didn't understand that as a choice. But they did make it a focal point that... Yeah, you're not supposed to confuse that laugh with any other laugh in the entire series, in the entire galaxy.
It has one meaning. Everyone knows what that meaning is. But in the comics last year, they confirmed that it was Palpatine who was responsible for Anakin being born. It wasn't just some, you know, miraculous birth, you know, Shmi. It was Palpatine who was responsible for that.
Because he manipulated the Force.
Yeah, what if the Rise of Skywalker refers to him?
Ooh.
Because he technically was the beginning of Skywalker.
Ooh. Ooh.
That's my theory.
That's reaching way back.
That
would also then have to make a comic canon.
Well, but the Marvel comics,
have been canon. Yeah.
They've been canon. A lot of the Chuck Wendig books have been canon as well.
So, yeah,
the only canon restart was at Force Awakens.
Right.
Everything after that is canon,
and that was really just to wipe out the extended universe.
Yeah.
That's what
they wanted to pick and choose from.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think that this is interesting for a few reasons because, you know, the laugh. I think a lot of people automatically jump to Palpatine's still alive, and I don't know that that's necessarily true, because if we're talking about the specter of Palpatine, the mm-hmm. The consequences of the choices that he yeah. made and things like that, I think that you're right. Maybe the title of Rise of Skywalker may be much more symbolic and you know, not necessarily literally referring to the Skywalker bloodline, although we do know that that bloodline has continued.
Right, I mean, in Kylo Ren.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
It's continued there. That would also be kind of a disappointing thing if it turns around and it's just like Kylo Ren again turns to the good side.
And takes the Skywalker name or something?
He finally goes by the name. He goes by Ben Skywalker instead of Ben Solo. I don't know.
No, but I mean,
that's an entire possibility.
It is. It absolutely is.
But here's another thing.
That plot arc is totally valid.
It is valid. But here's the thing is that what if there's still sort of this other, the other threat that Palpatine brings? What if this is something that Kylo Ren has been a Knight of Ren has always been privy to, and he hasn't let on the fact that he's privy to that.
That he's spoken to Palpatine.
And everything that he's done up to this point is in a direct result to try to stop Palpatine's rise.
Could be. What do you guys think of Palpatine being the ultimate big bad again?
I mean,
if he is,
I actually like it from the standpoint of he's been the villain since the first movie. I like that he is the villain in the closure of the
series. Yes, finish it all up.
From a standpoint of, like, I don't know that it makes sense for him to be the villain for parts 1 through 6.
Sure.
And not at all in the last trilogy. You're finishing that storyline.
Does it make sense for him to be alive right now? That's the part that I think I have the most problem with. If it's going and kind of figuring out his machinations, what he set in motion, that I'm totally fine with.
But if he's still
alive, like if he's living through like some kind of, I don't know, cybernetic suit a la Darth Vader, I'm going to be very disappointed.
If he's learned to do basically the Sith equivalent of a force ghost and is existing in that way,
okay,
I'm into that idea.
That's a little bit more interesting.
Why couldn't a Sith do that?
Why couldn't a Sith do that before?
Yeah. So it makes perfect sense. And I also think that's when you start to go back, because JJ has also said there are things and decisions that Rian Johnson made that he deliberately kept in mind when moving on to this thing. And I think we'll get a better explanation of Snoke's role in this whole thing.
I hope so.
In terms of, like, you know, was Snoke essentially just like the Darth Maul of this particular arc?
Could be.
He's just another Palpatine patsy.
What do we think about Carrie Fisher being back and them using footage from Episode 7 rather than trying to either CGI her or write her off screen?
I'm okay with that. I think that is a creative choice that, depending on the footage that you had to make that call.
Yeah.
And if they think that they can do it, you know what? They did it. They've done it with other characters in the series. I'm okay with it. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. We're currently talking about the announcement that went on at Star Wars Day out in Chicago over the weekend. An amazing time. And the other thing that was announced, of course, was Respawn Entertainment's Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, so this takes place shortly before the events of Episode 4, and you play as a Jedi who has had to learn how to survive ever since in the wake of Order 66.
Oh, you mean like the Force Unleashed?
We're not going to get into the lore of the Force Unleashed because it's garbage and really weird. This is someone who's basically been on the run ever since the results of Order 66, and has basically learned to kind of survive in this world and be a Jedi.
How excited are you guys allowing yourself to get over this game? Because this is what the third try now from EA.
I think there's been more tries from EA, but I mean the taste that Battlefront 1 and 2 left in my mouth is not positive. I know that they've come out and said we're not doing microtransactions, we're not doing loot boxes.
That's their promotional tool right now. Is look, guys, we finally listened.
We didn't screw it
up. No microtransactions. But that remains to be seen.
I don't understand how EA thinks that they can do that. That's like screwing a pooch and then going and trying to sell an unscrewed pooch.
But people
it doesn't make sense. I understand that people are buying it because people buy Star Wars.
No, but here's the only thing that I will say is that previous single player experiences about and from Star Wars have usually worked out. even in the post-EA sort of atmosphere...
It's been the multiplayer ones
It's the multiplayer
that
ones that usually fail.
Right.
But so, single player, because Star Wars is such a rich world and a rich narrative, when you have something that's leaning on that as a crux of what the game is supposed to be,
well, and
a lot of the other stuff is a lot easier to make.
Well, and it's Respawn that's making it this time as well, not DICE.
I understand that, and I think that, you know, especially with the success, the recent success of Apex Legends, that people are going to be bolstered by that fact. I don't know though. I'm tentative on this at best, and I think most of that comes from the fact that, you know, yes, while ancillary stories, while side stories in the Star Wars universe have been found to be compelling, it's really what hinges around the main story that is the most interesting. You know, the prequel movie that had come out that everyone loved,
Rogue One.
Yeah, Rogue One was good because it told a story.
Direct ramifications.
It told a story that you didn't know, but that had direct ramifications on the actual plot.
Well, I mean, so did Shadows of the Empire.
Well, right. But so my question about this is was it, what is its canonicity?
Yeah, where does it fit?
Canonality? I don't know what the word is.
Is it canon?
Is it canon? That's the biggest question.
And what story is it going to look to tell? I mean, based on the timeline, it might be trying to fill in for basically what would have been the Starkiller saga in the old EU, or what the Force Unleashed kind of tried to tell. It seems like it's trying to, maybe this is going to be kind of the spark of the rebellion, that sort of story.
And I'm not opposed to that story being told, but if I know that story isn't canon or doesn't have any impact on the core story and the core universe that I know and love, then why do I care about it?
I agree. Now, that is kind of what's exciting, though, with EA working so closely with, you know, the Star Wars property. Technically, what they make, especially if they're dedicated to doing a single-player, story-driven campaign, could well be canon.
Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Are you excited for Episode 9, Rise of Skywalker? Or how do you feel about Jedi Fallen Order? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll make our list of top 15 Game of Thrones characters that will not be making it to the end. And there's probably way more than 15 that we could fill that list with. But ahead next, we'll play a little bit of catch up from the weekend and see what everyone was up to. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling and the WWE, and Talk and Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Joe and Norris were gone all last week at NAB, and now that they're back, we need to get caught up on what we did over the weekend. Guys, welcome back.
It's good to be back.
I mean, first of all, we did record our podcast on Saturday. So
our
we did
100th.
Our episode 100. By the way, it was also on, it was all about the Checkpoint XP
Game Society
game that we chose for our first month, which was Celeste. We talked all about that, took your calls. Thank you so much for that. Make sure that, you know, you put that on your calendar and you join us for future editions. If you want to get in on our second game for the Checkpoint XP Gaming Society, we have announced officially that is Borderlands 2.
Yes.
Two.
Borderlands 2 specifically.
Yeah, we've got an entire channel dedicated to it in our Discord. So, yeah, join the fun and become a part of Checkpoint XP by getting in on the Checkpoint XP Gaming Society. So now that you guys are back and you had the rest of the weekend to kind of decompress and chill out and relax a little bit, how you guys doing?
Doing pretty good.
It's gonna be real exciting.
After getting a chance to finally like go and see family for the first time after like 10 days on the road. I actually came
back and saw family.
Yeah,
I didn't do that.
I took a cue from Robbie.
What? I don't see my family ever.
No. I've been wanting to play Stardew Valley, right?
Sure.
And I realized I own it on Steam, and I realized it is a game I am never ever going to fire up my PC to sit down and play.
When you have other games to choose from.
So I got it on the Switch.
Good choice.
And I played the hell out of Stardew Valley.
Really?
On my time off over the week. I love that game.
Yeah. No,
I loved Harvest Moon.
Great on the Switch.
So it's Harvest Moon, but like I assume that it's got to have a twist. What's the twist?
I mean, not really. It's Harvest Moon. I can't believe a lawsuit hasn't been filed, to be honest with you.
Wow. Okay.
I mean,
fair
maybe
enough.
A little bit more focus on your relations with other people, but.
Interesting.
Still, I mean, like, you could also just skip most of that crap and just focus on your farm if you wanted to. Yep. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, Stardew Valley,
a lot of Stardew Valley, and of course, you know. Game of Thrones.
Obviously, that goes without saying.
By the way,
speaking of podcasts, that is going to be the subject of our podcast this week, available over at checkpointxp.com.
So get caught
episode
up.
101. We're going to be talking about Game of Thrones, the inaugural episode of the season. So make sure you join us for that. We're also going to be taking your calls there. So that's going to be an interesting discussion. So Norris, you've been on the road more than all of us because you did PAX East, came back for like
four days.
Yep. And then was back on the road for NAB 2019.
Yeah. So I missed the smell of my own house.
I bet.
But you get back in your own house. I'm like, what's that smell? That's my smell.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, it was a bit bittersweet because my girlfriend's also out of town on business. So I came back to an empty house.
That kind of sucks.
But with that said, I got a lot of work done actually, and my weekend was consumed with the LCS and the LEC finals,
which I understand were incredible.
It was a tale of two finals, one of which is an unmitigated classic. I mean, one of the best finals I've ever seen.
Liquid and TSM is one of the best finals.
That's LCS.
And the LEC finals were not that.
Were a record-setting blowout. It is the fastest blowout win.
What two teams were in LEC?
Origin and G2 Esports.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's where all the conversation about G2 was coming from over the weekend.
G2 set the record for a finals series, beating the previous record by about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was not close. Smash.
It was very embarrassing.
Wow. Yeah. Robbie, how about you? You were here in Detroit with me.
That's right.
We got to have a weekend off finally because, you know, last weekend we had off as well. But what were you doing this week?
Speaking of our gaming society, I am in the midst of wrapping up the DLC for Borderlands 1 before I jump into Borderlands 2. But the big thing that I did is me and the girlfriend went and saw Shazam.
How was Shazam?
I keep hearing this pretty
good.
Everyone
keeps saying, like, my brother.
I'm hearing it's a serviceable film.
It was fine.
My brother.
That's not exactly what I'm expecting out of DC.
It's better than what you would expect. There wasn't anything wrong with the film, but it also didn't really do anything new or exciting or anything like that. You know, Zachary Levi as Shazam was great. All the cast was great. Interestingly enough, the way that it ended, without avoiding spoilers, I don't want a sequel.
Right.
I kind of wish that DC would kind of start making movies the same way they make their animated series. Just tell a story.
Yeah.
That's it. If you don't want to recast for the next one, don't recast. If you do, you can. Tell a new story every time.
I think that's where DC kind of needs to be to kind of set themselves apart from Marvel.
This whole continual art thing is not working.
Yeah.
If they try and do that with Shazam, the next one I feel would be such a huge, like, unmitigated mess that it wouldn't even know where to go. But the movie itself...
You know, to be fair,
it's fine.
To be fair, I said the exact same thing when I saw the first Deadpool movie. I was like, okay, that was good. It was a great one-off. Start putting him in other stuff and be...
Don't give him another movie.
Have him be sort of the meta voice to be Goofy.
They also
and be the comic relief. And then that's it. But you don't need to give him another film. He has all of his story told. And then they came out with the second movie. And I went, okay, I'm going to shut the fuck up now because I don't know what I'm talking about.
To be fair, though, they kind of did what you were still suggesting. They just still called it Deadpool. Yeah. Like, that wasn't his story.
My brother asked me what I thought of Shazam, and I hadn't seen it yet. He's like, dude, it's the first good DC movie. And I'm like, I looked at him, and he's like, I don't count Wonder Woman. That was a fluke. They don't get credit for that one.
Okay.
That
all
was
right.
Someone else. And he hasn't liked any of the other ones.
But so. I'm just, like Aquaman?
I'm just saying, like, the whole connected universe thing is not working for them.
Yeah. They still did it, by the way.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, it's not working for them. I think that, you know, that approach of, like, yeah, just tell a story would be way better suited to what DC's got going on.
I agree.
I had a really interesting weekend. So on Saturday, after you guys left, I kind of, you know, sat around and you know, produced podcasts all day.
Can you tell them about your fat tray?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. I will share.
What?
So
what?
I've gotten,
it's a game changer, guys.
I have gotten a device that will facilitate my growing obesity.
Oh no.
And it's a tray.
What?
It's a tray for my laptop so I don't ever have to get out of bed. And it's great. Let me tell you, this thing is the best $38 purchase I have ever made.
I've gotten a device that will help facilitate my growing obesity.
Yes. That is exactly correct.
They call it the refrigerator.
Sure. No, that's the next step, is getting a mini fridge in his room.
That's right, because I have to get up and actually exert my muscles to go to the refrigerator.
We're going
to
come in one day and Nate's just going to still be in his bed atrophied.
I will have you know. Hold on. I will have you know, every day that I came here during NAB, he was already up and moving around. The last day, which was the day that he had his fat tray, I come in. The bedroom door is still closed.
Nate is going to be Cartman in Weight Gain 5000.
Yes.
Like we're going to be like, Beefcake!
No, kitty, that's my Popeye!
No,
Fritz.
But to be honest, though, it really is phenomenal for, like, when I... there are times...
Explain to me this laptop tray, because now I'm curious.
There's nothing really complex about it. It's just a tray that holds your laptop that also has space for your mouse as well.
Okay, because I say, like, why couldn't you just put it on your chest? Like, why does it need to be on a tray?
Well,
or your growing belly?
Because first, it gets very hot. And second,
football. That thing weighs 50 pounds.
No,
man.
This is not for the football. This is for the other one.
The football would burn through this tray.
Honestly, I don't think the tray has enough structural integrity to be able to handle the football.
Fair enough.
By the way, going through the airport with the football is a nerve wracking experience,
right?
Because at any moment, you're certain a TSA agent's going to be like, "Absolutely not."
Yeah, you're just like. They start asking you questions like, what could this possibly be for?
What do you use this for?
Yeah.
I use it to Twitch stream. Uh-huh.
First of all, if they don't say, what's that?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
So anyway, my two prevailing reasons, because I would, you know, like kind of sit Indian style,
right, yeah,
and put my laptop in my lap, but you're bending over, like your back.
You're hunched
over the top of it.
Right.
You can't work like that for terribly long, right?
Right.
With the tray, you actually get to lean back and work, and that's actually a lot less stress on your back.
Settle down, old man.
You know what? Don't make me take away your drops,
just,
Norris.
Don't make
me take away your drops, Norris.
So old.
That is the whole point, though, Norris. He's trying to settle down.
No, just get up, stretch, and you won't have these same issues.
No,
he's
going to
get up and stretch and pull a muscle.
The issue, yeah, because that happens. I pull muscles in my sleep. I don't know how that is a thing.
And then we have to hear about that, Norris.
Anyway, so... No, this is a great solution for, first, not having to hunch. Second, not overheating the laptop, because that was my big concern.
Yeah, that was to be a problem.
Because, like, you know, if I'm playing Fallout 76 in bed, and I was having to use, like, a book to put my mouse on, it was not comfortable at all.
Right.
This just sets it all on a tray nice in front of you, and it even, you know, the tray can even, like, kind of, like, tilt up, so you can have your laptop set straight.
Yes,
it's a really nice thing.
It's a laptop tray. We've seen them before. So
I haven't.
It's How have you never seen a laptop?
I've not seen this. I want one now.
It's $38 on Amazon. It's made out of bamboo and it's awesome.
Okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
To be fair, my girlfriend has one and I think she spent quite a bit of money on it. It is quite high quality.
Or it's probably made out of like cherry wood or something like
that. Yeah, you know, something like that.
So anyway, I got that. That was awesome. I've been enjoying that immensely. But on Sunday, I got to go out to see Hamilton with my folks.
Which you seemed a little apprehensive about.
My mom saw it and she said it was amazing.
It was. It was very good.
I'm seeing it this Friday.
Yeah.
Should I be excited?
You should be very excited.
All right.
Well, first of all, you should definitely be excited. People have literally assaulted and attempted to murder each other for Hamilton tickets. So, I mean.
The show is great. Here's my couple of takeaways from seeing the show. The kinetic energy that, I mean, it starts and does not stop. It is unrelentingly, like, it, you know how like musicals, like they have an ebb and a flow.
Yeah.
This is just movement. And it's just like, holy.
So
guys,
after the
first act, I had to go, holy crap, I got to catch my breath.
So
that was intense.
As the theater kid in the studio, how difficult would it be to do something like that where you just act after act, song after song, constantly be moving? Yeah.
It's actually not as it happens a lot more than you would think in productions, right? So Hamilton isn't going to be like a one-off for this.
Right.
The way that you do this is you save up all your energy, you put it all out during the production, and then afterwards you die.
Got it.
Reasonable.
Okay. But I mean, like I'm talking
those,
like
those people die every night and are reborn the next morning. That's how it works.
They're not just singing and dancing. I mean, the choreography is absolutely incredible. They're moving props around. Like, all of the actors are also the stage hands.
Yep.
It's an incredible, incredible production. I genuinely enjoyed it. But my main takeaways were, you know, that this has got to be the most exhausting production for any actor to be a part of. And the second thing is I suddenly understand mumble rap a whole lot better.
Oh.
I absolutely understand mumble rap a whole lot better because
it's been put in a historical context.
Well, no, not at all. Cause this is everything about Hamilton is rooted in the hip hop that I grew up with.
Oh, that's right.
You know, Notorious B.I.G., Nas, and even sort of like the late 90s, early 2000s, sort of like in backpack rap, very socially conscious. That's what you can tell. That's what Lin was listening to when he was writing this. And it totally comes across, and I love it for that. However, when your art form has been elevated to the point of Hamilton, or has been elevated to the point that Eminem took it with Rap God, if you're a 16-year-old kid and you're going, holy shit, that's the way that validity is given to my art form. What am I going to do sitting around here with $38 in my pocket and, you know, a buddy who has a drum machine? What do I do to make this my own? And in the very same way that punk rock did that, because they saw Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd packing, you know, arenas across the country and went, well, we can't do that. We can't bring out puppets on stage. We can't do the wall. We don't have that artistic ability. The Ramones answered that by going, okay,
just pair it all down.
No solos, 2.5 minutes, Blitzkrieg bop. And that's where you get punk rock from. And I think in a very real way, mumble rap is sort of like, okay, well, if the expectation is to write 30,000 words and throw it into my rap song, you know what? Let's just pare that down.
And do 16 words.
Yep. And just repeat them over and over again and make it a hook.
Yeah.
It's the purposeful breakdown of a musical genre as a response to how good it's gotten.
Yeah.
How technically good it's gotten and subsequently how inaccessible it's become for the average person to do in their basement.
Wow.
Yep.
Nate, that was very well said.
I've been thinking about this for years.
And this
brought it home in a very real way for me, because I saw the same thing when Green Day did American Idiot on Broadway. I went, punk rock has been elevated to the point where it's on Broadway now. Something else has to come. What purpose does, you know, Deprived have, or Destroy, or these little, you know, these little punk bands that are pressing 7 inches and only talking to other punks? What's the point of that? Green Day spent a career talking to people who are not punks and then put a political message out on Broadway. That's incredibly admirable.
Yeah.
That is incredibly impactful. They did more than the entirety of the punk scene ever did braying about politics. And they did it doing, you know, doing things that punk rockers said not to do because it crossed some sort of punk ethic line.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
Punk ethics. That's great. That's a great term.
But at some point, mumble rap is going to get elevated to that point, and rap is going to have to change again.
It'll evolve itself.
Yeah, it has to. That's the way that music continues to evolve.
Yeah.
Nice. Weird tangent that got on.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm excited to see Hamilton this weekend.
You should be. It's awesome.
Don't know what we're dealing with here, man.
It's a really entertaining production, and I think you'll enjoy it for sure. All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. What did you get up to this weekend? What kind of interesting stuff were you doing? Tell us all about it. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, Game of Thrones is officially back, and in honor of the show returning, we'll be creating a list of the top 15 characters we are certain will not be making it to the end. Stick around. That's coming up next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com. And while you're there, make sure to sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and zip code. So sign up today over at CheckpointXP.com. We love lists here on Checkpoint XP, and we're going to be making one here today with the help of our Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. In honor of Game of Thrones returning over the weekend, we'll be making a list of the top 15 characters who we think will not be making it to the end of the season.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I have a prediction that you're going to hear probably a lot of your favorite characters on this list.
Oh, yeah.
It's nothing personal, but this is just in our opinion.
No, it is personal. I don't like you, so I'm picking your favorite character.
In our opinion, this is just who is not going to live to the end of the final season.
All right. Who's starting it off?
I'm leading us off, and I'm going to lead us off with Captain Friendzone himself, Jorah Mormont.
That's
a low-hanging fruit. You have how he's going to die, though.
That's as wide open as you can imagine.
Jorah Mormont will be cut down by a White Walker.
Bonus points. You said cut down by White Walker.
Okay. Yep. All right. So
I'm gonna put WW.
So you get bonus points if you choose the way that he dies.
I like that. That sounds like fun.
Bonus points. Very interesting.
Nate, over to you. Who do you want?
Even though he is my favorite character that is still alive right now in all of Game of Thrones,
I know where he's going.
Tormund.
Yep.
Oh, no, not Tormund.
I desperately want Tormund and Brienne to have the gigantic babies together, but it's not going to happen. I think Tormund is going to be...
I disagree. I think Tormund lives.
You think so?
Yep.
Nothing would make
me happier.
Somebody
from the free folk got to live.
Nothing would make me happier, but I don't think that he's going to be the one.
All right. So for mine, I'm going to go with the Onion Knight himself, Sir Davos.
No, not Davos.
And here we go. All of my deaths are going to be very swervy. He comes face to face and has a chance to kill Melisandre for what she did.
Oh.
But she gets him.
Oh. I like it.
Oh, that's rough. All right, Norris.
I'm gonna go all the way to the top. Daenerys Targaryen.
Oh, really? Dany's not gonna
you
make it.
You don't think Dany's gonna live out the end of the season?
Nope.
Okay.
Really?
Nope.
Interesting.
All right. Yep. Write it down.
Do you have a method of how she perishes?
Goes. Eaten by her own dragon.
Eaten by her own dragon? Oh, my gosh.
Whoa, what an end of the season.
Whoa. That would be a twist that I would not see coming.
All right. Let's get one from our Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. What are they saying?
I see, let's see, a few Daenerys's in there.
Gallant says one of the Stark girls has to die.
Okay, all right.
Well, pick one, Gallant.
Yeah, Gallant has to, guys, is going to have to pick one. Guys.
All right, we'll check back in with him in a minute. I'm going to give my second one here. Okay. As much as I'm going to be sad to say this, Norris, I know you'll agree, though. Grey Worm, there's just no way.
Oh, easy.
There's no way he's making it to the end,
you
right?
You gotta go harder than this, Joe. That's two freebies, man. That's two freebies.
You think?
Yes.
Joe, your third one, it better be good.
It better be good.
You're on notice.
That's two freebies.
Yeah, you've chose two people who actively get into the fray.
Yes.
My second choice is someone who has been operating in the shadows the entire time.
Oh, no.
Varys is going to get it.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, Melisandre has predicted that both she and he will die.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that there's a very real chance Varys dies. He may not deserve it. But I think he's going to bite it by the end of the season.
All right, you guys are going to call me a cheater for this one. I apologize. Let me know how you want to handle it. But I think that when the Hound and the Mountain go up against each other, I don't think either of them make it out.
Okay.
Wow. No more Clegane.
So the Clegane family in its entirety.
The Clegane Bowl will end with teams losing. Wow.
No, not a draw. Both teams lost.
Both teams losing specifically. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Jack Sports Radio 1010 XL in Jacksonville, Florida, as well as ESPN Radio 99.3 in Fort Myers, Florida. We're currently building a list of the top 15 characters we think will not live to see the end of the finality of Game of Thrones. It's now over to Norris. Norris, who do you think is going to meet their maker?
Cersei Lannister.
You think Cersei is not going to make it to the end?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Well, she's prophesied to not make it to the end.
There is definitely a prophecy. How do you think she's going to go? I mean, because
she'll be strangled by the Valonqar. Obviously, that's the prophecy. The prophecy must come true.
Jamie, or
is it going to be Jamie, or is it going to be Tyrion?
Are you wearing Jamie's face? Yes.
Oh, you're...
I was going to use that one. If not, I was going to...
You're going to put that theory out on national radio?
I like that theory,
It's a good one.
This is credit to Joe. Joe came up with this theory. Arya is going to wear Jamie's face and strangle Cersei to death.
You know, prophecy.
I will say, if anyone has a taste for poetic justice, because, of course, Cersei does have that, I do think that Arya is probably the only other one to have that ironic sense of poetic justice.
Arya sees the humor in death at this point, so yeah, I can totally say that. Did Gallant ever get back to us,
but we have another guest from Heartslot over in our chat, Jamie Lannister.
See, now Jamie's actually kind of my contender for the throne.
Ooh,
really?
I think Jamie might outlive everyone. Although that little look that he got at the end of the first episode of the season was pretty ominous. But here's the thing. So he's in my contention to actually take the whole thing because his cunning has been second to none in the entire season.
Got high survivability.
That's right. Okay. Joe, back around to you for your last pick.
I was gonna say Sir Pounce, but I mean the show writers already confirmed he is dead, so it's not Sir Pounce.
No more Sir Pounce.
So I'm gonna go ahead and drop the last of the Lannisters. I'll say Tyrion Lannister
isn't
gonna make it. And it's going to break my heart because I wanted him and Sansa to emerge as like the power couple that wins
it
all.
Question.
That seems very unlikely.
Does Bronn take out one of those two, you think?
That's my guess is Bronn kills Tyrion and it's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt.
I'm not
going to
handle it well. All right. But that's my guess.
So my third pick, and I know I'm not going to handle this well, it's going to be the other popular Mormont.
No,
Liana,
Lady Mormont.
No, yes. Liana Mormont can't Liana die Mormont.
In a heroic fashion.
In a
though.
Very heroic fashion, mm-hmm. because she has proved multiple times she is a badass above badasses. So yes. she's going to go out in a way that's going to make other people look like clowns. Bosses.
I will accept it only if she rides into battle on a bear with a flail.
Yes,
and
yes!
gets taken down. I'll accept it.
All right, my last one is that Euron Greyjoy's mouth is finally going to get the better of him,
Oof.
And Cersei's going to be like, you know what? No.
I'm okay.
God, I no. hope so.
No, oh, I'm good now.
I want it. I want it so bad.
More easy to hate person than Euron Greyjoy.
Not since not Joffrey. Many.
No, no.
Or well, Ramsay was pretty hateable.
Okay,
yeah.
fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Norris,
yeah.
what do you got for us?
It's gonna be Jon Snow, guys.
No,
come on.
Jon's got to make it.
Come on.
How's it happening?
Nope.
Come on.
He will willingly allow the Night's King to kill him.
He's already Ooh. Died once. I don't see it.
Nope.
I don't That's see it.
Oh, I could see like that kind of poetic end where he lets the Night's King take him.
Yeah.
So, by the way, Galen did say Sansa.
Okay.
Wow,
and Arya's making
and he's,
it.
And he's predicting that Sansa turns into a White Walker and Arya kills her with the dragonglass weapon Gendry is making for her.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be yes, awesome.
Even though she has the Valyrian steel dagger, so she can just use that.
All right, well, listen, we're going to have to leave it right there, but we want to hear from you. Get a hold of us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow for the latest in esports and gaming news. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.